Nice. This week on News to Reviews, I do not have an intro story for you because we got such a juicy week of news that we got to just get jumping right on into it. And this is definitely not because I couldn't find something.
Oh, you lazy fucker.
Hello and welcome to News to Reviews, your place to be for gaming news stories and also your place to be for impressions on the latest games coming out each and every week. My name is Zach and I get to sit across from someone who's slightly more organised than me by the sounds of it. He was here on time and not running around like an idiot like I was.
Yeah, but I do a lot less with this show. Like, I just show up, that's all I have to do. Yeah, no, I'll introduce myself because I'll take that creative burden away from you this week. I'm Lockie. I'm going OG.
How you feeling, man? You said you're a little bit under the weather.
A bit under the weather, probably not the Rona. So put that out of your head, but I will get tested because that's the responsible thing to do in Australia when it's free and very easy. Yeah, I'm all right. How you going, Zachary?
Oh, I had a bit of a night playing some Spellbreak with Andrew and Paul from the Inconsolables and having a few cheeky drinks. Thank you very much, Paul, for dealing with Andrew and I's drunk ramblings for a few hours. I assume he probably muted us because I would have as well too.
Nice.
Oh, dearie me. So yeah, I'm a little bit hungover this morning, but you know what? I'll bring the energy. Because I'm stoked to have a returning guest. Now, for the second time, we have Sam joining us once again. Sam,
welcome.
How's
Yay!
It going?
Yay! I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing well. I'm sorry to get you out of bed so early on a Sunday to record this. I forgot that I was supposed to be working today.
How rude.
Yeah, I'm not. Yeah, it's been a... Been an interesting weekend, so yeah, we got to get this stuff done so I can go and work.
Are we going to get a review from Spellbreak later?
Oh, maybe. Oh, I don't know.
Do you have an
maybe
opinion?
Maybe not a review. I have
first
an
impressions.
Opinion.
First impressions.
I have an opinion on everything, Lockie.
Yeah,
fuck.
Good.
Even things I definitely shouldn't have opinions on. Let's get jumping in to the gaming news.
What the fuck?
Our
are you
first
doing?
Story.
Oh.
Was written by Kim Lyons and comes out of The Verge. EA has apologized for putting a full screen in-game ad into its UFC 4 game after angry fans protested on Reddit. First reported by Eurogamer, the commercial break, which featured a spot for Amazon's show The Boys, fantastic show, check it the fuck out, was added to the $60 game about a month after its initial release. An EA spokesperson wrote in a Reddit post that the team had turned on ad placements in the game during the replay moments, and that while this type of advertising inventory is not new to the UFC franchise, it has typically been limited to specific main menu tiles or octagon logo placement. A post on Reddit's asshole design board pointing out the issue had close to 100,000 upvotes. EA says it has disabled the ads. It is abundantly clear from your feedback that integrated ads into the replay and overlay experience is not welcome. The company spokesperson said, "We apologize for any disruption to gameplay that players may have experienced. Not going to appear in the future," they have said. Sam, do you like the idea of having full-blown ads in your video games?
No, that would just annoy me. And I understand people's, like, why they're so upset. Like, that's just stupid. Like, it's a good ad to have. The Boys is a great show. But at the same time, like, that's just annoying. I'm there to play a game.
Especially considering it's a full price game as well too. Like UFC is one of those games that they iterate on slightly year to year and then charge full price for again. Mm. And now not only that, not only have they already snuck in ads in places where I guess like you can get away with it because, you know, when you're watching UFC, you're having ads thrown at you there all the time as well too. But yeah, when you start like putting full blown unskippable ads in your replays, that's just, it's just getting to a whole nother level. Lockie, you're obviously stoked about these ads. Have you played UFC 4?
I'm gonna have to say, like, yeah, I'm really sorry, Sam, but I have to disagree with you on this one. I feel like ads really enhance the experience of the gaming immersion. You know, I always love to have, when I'm playing a really good game, I really love it when I have to take a breather for 30 seconds to a minute to then just focus on some other commercial bullshit. And it's wonderful, you know? I don't know why everyone's upset about this. No,
dude, you'd love a game called stupid. Death Stranding, where...
No, I never played that one.
Well, Kojima got a whole lot of money from Monster Energy.
Oh, he stuck ads in there?
Oh, mate. Well, it's Norman Reedus, just like, literally you'd use Monster Energy to, like, I think it was either for your health or to refuel.
Oh, so yeah, it's like product placement. Okay. Yeah. All right. So I think this is a really interesting topic here. Yeah, no. I was just joking before, Sam. I totally agree with you. It's fucking insane.
I was going to say, what's wrong with you?
Yeah. So, no, but like, there is an interesting discussion here because there's a difference between product placement in games and movies versus straight up ads. And mm-hmm. I would say product placement, I really don't mind if it's not too in your face about it. Like if it makes sense in the world and it's, you know, it doesn't seem, as long as it doesn't ruin the gaming experience, I'm totally fine if they're, you know, if they're snacking on Doritos and shit. Like it doesn't matter to me. Like, I know, you know, Tony Hawk's Pro Skater, they have heaps of, you know, product placement stuff in there, but it's not really about that because it's immersing yourself in like a realistic setting of the world. Where I draw the line is straight up ads. Something that disrupts the game to intentionally sell you something. I think that's completely inappropriate in any forum that you've paid money to digest a product. It's exactly the same for videos or DVDs. You buy a DVD so you don't have to watch ads in the middle of the fucking episode.
Who the fuck buys a DVD these days?
Zachary. Oh, Zachary. We're treading on dangerous Australian piratey water here. Perhaps we should...
I more meant everyone streams and stuff these days. I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, yeah. I like
or Blu-rays, I believe replaced DVDs back in like 2010 or something like that.
Have you noticed that consuming a product is like... it's always water and seafaring terminology. Like, you know, you pirate something or you stream something. Like it's just funny. But no, going back to my point, if you did purchase a DVD to watch a TV show, you would find it pretty disgusting for them to stick advertisements in the middle of each episode. You know, you're paying for the product. You should be able to receive the product. I don't think EA is strapped for cash. I guess this is another little sneaky sneak they pulled. I think they got brave when I would imagine they already do a lot of product placement and they make a lot of money through that. And they got a little bit too greedy and they tried to push it to that next level.
Yeah.
It's just an effort to try and make all video games like the fucking free to play mobile market, except they still want to charge their $60.
Yeah.
For the games as well, too, which is just like, in a mobile game, I understand. You're going to watch this 30-second ad if you want to keep playing our game.
Yeah, that's understandable.
Whatever, I didn't pay a cent for it, and I'm sitting on the toilet anyway. What does it matter? But yeah, if I'm buying a game on release, yeah, I don't want to be... And not to mention that they put these in a month after release, too. So all your reviews are out. You know, this reminds me a little bit of a sneaky thing that Activision does that I bring up all the fucking time when they brought microtransactions into Crash Team Racing about a month or so after release. So it seems like they've got a pretty good sort of formula now with how they want to put sneaky, fucked up monetization into games.
Yeah.
And we should probably keep an eye out on all these kinds of games a month after release to see what they might decide they want to shove in there and hope we won't feel it pushing into our fucking prostate.
Fuck.
Moving on to our next story.
The fuck?
This article was written by Leah Williams, who comes out, I told you this is not going to be a normal episode. It's written by Leah Williams and comes out of Kotaku. The Xbox Series X will cost $749 in Australia, while the Xbox Series S will cost $499. That's right, we know prices for the Xbox, and not only that, we also know that both the consoles are going to be coming out on November 10. Holy fucking shit, we finally know. So this was like leaked out by someone on Twitter, and all but it was all, like confirmed within a couple of days by Microsoft with like a couple of cheeky tweets. They handled it all really well. A few more details here for you on how you can get one in Australia. Pre-orders for the two consoles will go live on September 22nd, with some Australian retailers like EB Games offering trade-in deals for those looking to upgrade. You can check out the pre-order landing hubs for EB and JB Hi-Fi now, although the pre-orders won't open until later in September. If you want to grab either console, you need to get in quick. Reports from earlier in the year indicate next-gen consoles may experience stock shortages due to production delays. The ideal target performance for the new main console would be 4K resolution and 60 frames per second, with the second diskless console aiming to run at 1440p resolution and 60 frames per second. The Xbox Series X will cost $46 a month via Telstra's Xbox All Access service. The Xbox Series S will cost $33 a month. Both include access to Xbox, Game Pass, Ultimate, and impressively affordable options for those unable to make a one-off payment. So, yeah, a lot of interesting little tidbits in there. The Xbox Series S, it was something that, you know, it was rumored for a while. And for me, I don't see why anyone who wants to jump into next-gen gaming would be interested in buying this console. We already have the Xbox One X from the previous generation. Fucking Christ, these naming conventions.
Price point, Zax, don't gatekeep. Some people can't afford, you know, the $500 ticket price.
Yeah, but they were already selling the Xbox One X around that price anyway. Yeah. And like, cause, you know, this is, $500 is the cheaper price point for this one.
Yeah, but it's next gen, and they're and using words like games teraflops. Teraflops.
It still ran games at 4K, and now you're getting downgraded to 14. And by the way, who the fuck has a 1440p TV? I don't think those things fucking exist. Anyway, so
yeah,
look,
I've never
I can
heard
understand.
Of that before.
You get more flops, so yeah, it's going to have more flops than the Xbox One X, and it's got the same GPU it's running on and whatnot. So I guess the idea is you're still going to be able to play those next gen games, but you're just not going to be able to do it at 4K resolution. It just seems weird to me. Like, I feel like the whole point of going to next gen is to enjoy the graphical upgrade of next gen. Fair enough. I guess it does sort of have an option for those people who can't quite afford that. But yeah, I don't understand. I guess we'll see how it sells into the future. But yeah, I don't know. After hearing all of this, Sam, do you think you're going to be pre-ordering a Xbox Series X or S? Oh my god, these S sounds fucking...
Oh, it's so fucking stupid.
Yeah.
Sorry, continue, Sam.
Yeah, just interrupt. I will not. I don't know. Like, the whole thing just confuses me at the moment. I don't understand the name. any games that I play, I'll just play on my PC. Like, I don't need to buy another console to play them. So, no, I'm not going to be getting one.
Yeah, and not to mention, they don't have any Xbox first-party games on release either. Everything that's gonna be available to play on the Series X when it does get released is all third-party stuff that, when the PS5 comes out, you're going to be able to play on there anyway as well too. So yeah, I don't know. I don't see what the appeal is for me personally, but I guess I'm a sucker for those Sony exclusives and whatnot. How about you, Lockie? Do you think they're making some good moves here?
Look, as you know, I have a very conflicting relationship with Microsoft over the years. I've consumed all of their products. And they have a really... They're starting off with a really shitty reputation based on the last two generations of consoles. But in terms of this last year, in terms of their launch, how they've been upfront and communicating with their audience, you know, compared to Sony, they're doing the right things. So they've been saying, they've been promising that they will be focusing more on exclusives. They are pumping out a console that is quite powerful graphically, and I'm not entirely sure if the PlayStation will be able to compete, because I think the specs that, Sony shared a couple of months back, it didn't look like it was going to reach the same power that the Xbox was going to. Yeah, which sucks. Because the thing is, I see it from your point of view. Sony does do better exclusives, at least historically speaking. And I'd really like to enjoy some of the backwards compatibility stuff. So I really want to get the Sony. But Xbox is doing just enough in terms of what they're promising and promising to deliver. We don't know if they'll actually deliver on it, but what they're promising is looking more appealing at this point in time. Has Sony actually confirmed their release date yet?
So, no, Sony hasn't, but since all this came out, just literally last night, so it's this isn't in the doc there either, Sony have announced that they're doing a PlayStation 5 event on Wednesday. Now, considering we just got prices and release dates, this very, very well could mean that that's what we're looking at with this event coming during the week, which obviously we'll be talking about on next week's show. But then, yeah, who knows? We don't. They haven't said that that's what they're going to be announcing. So it's really a big wait and see as far as that's concerned. I think.
Yeah, I think that's indicative again. Sony is just really cocking it up this year in terms of hyping up their product for launch. I can't get excited about their product because I don't even know when it's going to be available. I get the feeling that it's, you know, like, you know, they're stringing us along, which is not giving me a lot of confidence that they're going to be able to, you know, release it the same time Xbox is. So we're going to have one next-gen console on the market, and we're going to have to wait for one that spec-wise isn't going to be better. So I don't know. We'll see. This is all speculation, by the way. I don't know. I'm just going based off Sony's reticence to communicate with the world.
Well, if it is going to be delayed, then I guess we'll find out on Wednesday. I fucking hope. Oh, my God. I just hope they don't tell us anything else about the DualSense controller. I don't care about the DualSense controller. Every fucking ad, everything they've put out the last 6 months always been haptic feedback.
Exactly. They've got fuck all. And that's what, you know, someone in marketing, when they're given absolutely nothing to work with, they're like, you know, you only have the green light to communicate about our fucking controller features. Oh, great. You know, I'm sure they're not too happy about that either. It's got to be like pulling teeth to speak publicly about how excited you are about a controller. But, you know, if they do get it delayed, I don't think that's necessarily a bad thing.
I'm stoked if they do. It means I've got more time to fucking afford this fucking expensive thing. Oh, it's going to cost so much money.
Yeah, because, like, I don't want them to rush something out and it be, you know, subpar as a result of rush. I would much prefer for them to go to the drawing board, take their time, work out what people are happy about with the new Xbox, and then really release a much superior console, you know, 3 to 6 months later. And I would, you know, I would actually look at that and see that as, you know, something promising. If they were upfront about that strategy, I'd go, okay, maybe I will hold off getting a console. But this is what I want. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, I think the thing that the main thing that Microsoft's really killing it with all their messaging and stuff leading up to this the new console launch is all their services. Like the bit I rattled off at the end there about how Telstra has the deal where you can pay $46 a month and you're going to get yourself an Xbox Series X, plus you're going to have Game Pass on top of that as well too. So you've already got
fucking incredible.
Hundreds of games to play. And one of the things that excites me a lot about that is that kind of price point can put that console and games into the hands of a lot more people who may not have been able to afford it otherwise. And Game Pass is something I'd recommend looking into, Sam, as well, too, because I believe it's available on PC as well. I don't play on PC. But if I did, there's so much good third party stuff on there and Microsoft Studios stuff on there. It'd definitely be worth at least trying out. I think you can do like $1 trials for a month or something like that. But yeah,
interesting.
Do you think is Game Pass at something that interests you at all, Sam?
I haven't really looked into it, so I don't know. I know like all the Halos and stuff are on there, aren't they? I don't know.
Oh, yeah. You got the Halo collection. You've got, like, a lot of... that Tell Me Why game, which only just came out recently. The next game from Don't Nod Studios. I know you just think of that Backstreet Boys song. I know. They have, so much good stuff on there. Red Dead 2 was on there for a little while. It's definitely worth checking out for sure. If I had a PC or something I could game on that could get Microsoft Store on there, then 100% I'd give it a crack for sure.
You know what? Side note, because we don't talk about PC stuff enough on this show because Zach is a Sony bitch. Shut up, Zach. I got a question for you, Sam. We've got some next-gen graphics cards coming out, and they're looking to be some fucking huge game changers.
Yeah.
Have I completely fucked your next thing?
This article comes out of Tech Radar and was written by Bill Thomas. Finally, the much-anticipated NVIDIA GeForce RTX 3080 has officially been announced at NVIDIA's launch event and is slated to be released in the wild on September 17th. There have been plenty of speculations about the RTX 3080, including a leaked post-announcement of benchmarks showing how it destroys the RTX 2080. However, we now actually have some of the most important facts about the NVIDIA's latest flagship graphics card, including its price of $699, which is about 950 Australian. While it's been reported that the NVIDIA GeForce RTX 3080 stock might be extremely low until 2021, I bet it will be, the NVIDIA GeForce RTX 3080 is an absolute behemoth of a graphics card, coming in with a whopping 29.7 teraflops. Ooh, that's a lot of flops. Of theoretical FP32 performance, which is, well, a lot.
NVIDIA Your pronunciation pitched... of behemoth was a flop.
Oh, NVIDIA pitched this thing as being twice as fast as the RTX 2080, which checks out from a raw specs perspective, but also looks like it will be in the neighborhood of twice as fast as the RTX 2080 Ti, which is excellent news for anyone that wants to do some heavy 4K gaming. So... yeah, that worked out very well there, Lockie, that you
well,
decided
I'm super
to bring
excited.
That up. Now continue with your question for Sam.
Thank
now
you very much. Sam, I put to you. What do you reckon?
I mean, I'm the worst person to ask because, yes, I play PC games, but I'm a noob and I did not build my computer. So I just have like a standard HP pavilion. Like, it's not the best thing ever. But, I mean, it is exciting and I have heard that... these like hardware in the new Xbox as well is going to change PC gaming, which is also exciting for people who are really big in PC gaming. But yeah, I don't have much else to say on that. Sorry.
Oh no, and that's totally fine. It's one of those things where having a PC and having a current PC, graphics wise, processor wise, it's so fucking expensive. You're looking to drop nowadays. In the past, it used to be 2K. You would drop 2K and you get absolutely top of the line. Nowadays, if you want to get top of the line graphics card, so the RTX 3090, you're looking at $3,000for a new PC. But what that gets you, excitingly, is that I think I was looking at the reading. In terms of graphical processing power, the upcoming Xbox Series X, so the stronger one, is going to pump out 14 teraflops of power, and apparently that will allow you to play 4K gaming 60 frames per second minimum on any modern next gen thing, and it might drop for some of the newer cooler titles that'll come out after that. We don't know. So that's 14 teraflops. What the RTX 3090, which is like I think $1,500 to purchase, that'll give you 36. So it's more than twice as powerful as the best thing that the next-gen console will be able to pump out, but it's going to be highly inaccessible to people because it's so insanely expensive.
Yeah,
I don't know anyone that is ready to drop that amount, but people are quite excited about the middle ground card, the the, I think it's the 3080 RTX, which is, I think it's beating the Xbox coming out, and that'll be roughly 600, 700 on release.
Well, that was the one from this article, which, yeah that's 29.7 flops, so nearly 30 flops.
Oh, there you go. Still, so, yeah, it's almost hitting it. Yeah.
Double the Xbox as well there, too, so...
Oh, yeah, you're getting your best bang for your buck with the middle row process graphics card this time around. So, like, it's exciting. I don't know if I'll be, you know, purchasing it immediately, but it will be good to know. I think it's good for the gaming industry in general whenever these big leaps in technology come out on the PC end, because it does force the console home games to step up their game. It does mean that there'll be much more investment in the newer technology and what graphical capabilities engines can handle now. So, yeah, I'm hoping it'll be only good things. I'm kind of wishing that Xbox, you know, holds off their launch and sticks, you know, the RTX 3080 in there. I'll spend a little bit more on the console. I'm happy to drop an extra 200 or 300 if they could just stick a modern PC graphics card in there. I'd gladly take it.
Why don't you just buy the modern PC instead? Just build the PC at that point.
Yeah, it's fucking weird. I don't know. So with the... hang on one sec. Oh, my God. Sorry, I had a massive booger and I didn't want you guys to see.
I'm glad that's recorded.
Well, yeah, you know. You got to be polite. We're on video chat. So I think... It's one of those things where I love playing PC, but I play PC the traditional way where you fuck your back up and you sit in this horrible position for hours on end and you lean over, hunch your shoulders up, and it just ruins your body compared to a home console where you can just sit on a couch and be comfortable. That's all I can say. And I'm willing to pay extra money to be able to simulate the graphical processing power that a computer can do on the high end for my home console games. That's it.
You know, you can plug a laptop into or plug a computer into a TV and use a controller, right?
Like, you're right. You are so right. Although laptops are dog shit. Like, let's not even get started about laptops' graphical processing power. They don't compare to PCs.
No.
These graphic cards that are coming out on the market will not be fitted into laptops. They're the friggin' size of laptops themselves. Yeah, so, like, yeah, it's just, you can do it. You can plug a computer into a TV. It's just a pain in the ass. Yeah. And so is setting up controller schemes and shit. I know there used to be a Steam controller, but do they even have one anymore? It's just an Xbox one, don't they?
Couldn't tell you, man.
Yeah.
This was, I had no interest in this story, even in the slightest.
I know you didn't.
I didn't think Sarah was going to care either. So this is purely... My gift to you, Lockie.
I know. I need
and probably
a PC.
Our listeners. I'm sure our listeners out there will care as well, too.
Yeah.
Someone out there cares. Someone out there cares about what shit I have to say.
Ubisoft had an event. Another Ubisoft Forward. They're moving forward and by doing games and making them and selling them to us. And that's why Ubisoft Forward's a thing. And I just... got a few of the things that stuck out to me. If there's anything that I miss, just scream at me through your microphone and we'll go from there.
As always, of course.
Far Cry VR. Now, I didn't even bother watching the trailer for this one, but I heard that it looked pretty interesting, but then I found out later on that it's like some kind of like VR experience that you have to like go to a place and do. Which, like, I don't know. If it comes to Australia, then maybe I'll consider that. But, like, you know, it's not really a game. Next thing, though, It's not something that we're going to be able to fucking pick up and buy. Like, it's probably only going to be in America or fucking, I don't know.
I know. But you can't say it's not a game. It's just not available to Aussies.
It's not a game.
Nothing's available to us. We're very far away from the rest of the world.
Fair call. Immortal Phoenix Rising. Now, we got a lot of Immortal Phoenix Rising. This game was known as Gods and Monsters before that. Now, the first thing I want to address you, Sam, what do you think? Immortals Phoenix Rising or Gods and Monsters?
I don't know. I think Immortals sounds better than Gods and Monsters. That sounds like some weird game that I'd play when I was two. Like, Gods and Monsters. I don't know, like... Sounds like some imaginary thing.
That's bloody fascinating, because I heard the name Gods and Monsters first, and then when I heard Immortal Phoenix Rising, I was like, that just sounds stupid. I was happy with the other name.
I mean,
I wonder if it's just because I heard that first, and well, so and I just don't like change.
Yeah, but I mean, Gods and Monsters, like, I guess when I say it more, it kind of does sound more, like, interesting, and, like, I can understand what the game might entail, where Immortals is like, it could be so many different things.
Yeah, it's just so vague, and like, what the fuck is, what's like, all Phoenixes rise, why'd they spell Phoenix this way?
I just don't like the spelling. I think it's a bit knobbish. It's Phoenix, it's not Phoenix. And I'm not sure why they called their game Phoenix Rising.
So many people are gonna ask for that.
Phoenix Rising sounds like a pill you take to get an erection.
It does. It sounds like erectile dysfunction.
Phoenix Rising. You want your erection to be immortal? Take this. Now, the game itself, aside from the naming conventions, actually, I think I'm going to pick this one up. It's sort of piqued my interest. It reminds me of, like, Breath of the Wild / God of War. That's about it. Yeah, Breath of the Wild / God of War, I guess. Like, it's got that sort of cel-shaded looking Breath of the Wild art style, I guess, or like cartoony sort of looking art style with some pretty cool character designs. And you're doing a bit of using different abilities to solve puzzles and whatnot in this sort of massive, sprawling open world. And then the God of Warness, I get, is really in just the setting, I guess. It's all Greek mythology and whatnot, and so you got big old minotaurs running around and stuff like that. The things that differ, though, to something like your Breath of the Wild or God of War is, like, it didn't look to me like you have weapon degradation, so that's already a big plus for me, as far as Immortal Phoenix Rising goes. And yeah, like, had some more interesting powers and stuff to play around with in combat. Like, you don't just, like, I felt the combat to be really underwhelming in Breath of the Wild. Like, it's just, you can swing your sword and shoot a bow. Yes, if you want, you can use the physics to make the wind blow a bomb over there and then stasis someone and fucking whatever. But it was never more efficient to ever do it that way. You'll never encourage really to do anything any differently other than just running in and using your swords and your arrows. It was the most efficient way to do anything. So yeah, I'm looking forward to, you know, having, be able to mix up the gameplay a little bit, use these sort of different abilities. I'd sort of liken them to what you have in Assassin's Creed Odyssey Odyssey was the one that had the sort of god powers. You know, they kind of recharge over time, and basically they do different area of effect damage and blah, 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 all stuff like that. So I don't know. I like the look of this one. Did you guys check out the Ubisoft Forward event?
I saw a bit of the gameplay trailer footage of the one that you're talking about. I think it's coming from the same, they said, from the same creators of Odyssey.
Yeah.
So I think like, the, you know, they had different game developers working on this one as well. So, you know, that's promising, because Odyssey was a solid game. And one of the great things about going a little bit more cartoony means that they can actually do a lot more in terms of content, because it doesn't take nearly as long for them to design something cel-shaded as it does, you know, a fully photorealistic Medusa. You know what I mean? So I'm hoping that will translate, because it's easier to develop. I hope it will translate to just more crazy off-the-wall stuff going on, because, you know, that's always great in games. And I do find that with some AAA titles, that can be a bit sparse, understandably, because they got to pump so much time and effort into making shit.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm tentatively excited about this one. I feel like it's done enough to be like, I'm going to pick it up anyway. And it's coming out in December, which is pretty exciting, like December 10th. So yeah, Ubisoft's got a big holiday period. You know, you got Watch Dogs coming in October, then Assassin's Creed Valhalla coming in November, and then
I'm way more interested in Valhalla.
Oh, certainly, yeah,
like,
definitely.
I gotta say, yeah.
But I like, at least here, it looks like they're doing something different. Yeah, you're seeing the sort of Ubisoft tropes at this point, you know, tropes or, like, you know, standard things they put in there, you know, your open world and and stuff like that. But it looks like they're differing things a bit. You have a glider in this. You can glide around. Kind of like what it says,
Breath of the Wild.
Yes. No, but this time it's wings, so it's completely different. No, I like the gliding, so I'm not going to complain when they put something good into another game, even if it is a total ripoff of something else, for sure. So, I don't know. Prince of Persia, Sands of Time, is getting a remake. I played this back in the day because I heard it was good. I didn't really. I couldn't get into it. At the point I played it, it was already years and years after it had been out, so it was already quite dated. So, I don't know. The remake looks, to me, it looks pretty. It looks like that game, but looks prettier. I don't know. I'm sure there is a lot of people out there excited who have a bit of nostalgia for this one. Did you ever play the Prince of Persia games at all, Sam?
No.
Yeah, no. I don't know. For me, I don't think you're missing much. But Lockie, what about you?
Yeah, I did, and I really liked the Prince of Persia games, although I actually didn't play the Sands of Time until later on, well after its release, and I actually played their follow-up game, and I'm trying to remember, I can't remember the game, I think it had war in there or something, and it was Prince of Persia, the prince was like running, trying to escape the Dahaka, which is like this crazy-ass demon that's chasing him through time, because I think like that's linked to him stealing his magic sand or some bullshit. And that was so much fun. That was a really fucking good game. So I'm glad to hear that they're revisiting that franchise. They're giving it a bit of love. Hopefully I'll get a remake of that one.
Hmm.
Of the game I can't even remember the name of.
Yeah, there you go. Ubisoft, it's their first remake as well too. Which is, interesting. Maybe we could start seeing more remakes in the future. I wouldn't mind...
Oh, there's money in it.
Maybe next gen, seeing a remake of Assassin's Creed 2. That'd be pretty cool.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Oh, my God, Zach. Oh, God, you've hit the nail on the head. Yes, please. Yum, yum, yum.
I want to kill the Pope, and I want to see it in beautiful 4K resolution when I do.
Oh, God.
I hope I don't end up on some kind of watch list for saying that.
Yeah, you will.
Who gives a fuck about the Pope nowadays?
People don't care about the Pope.
No one even. Which Pope is it? Didn't they have a Nazi in there, like, only recently?
What?
Like,
what?
Wasn't the last Pope, Ratzinger, like a former Nazi officer?
With a name like that, probably, yeah.
Yeah, I think it was just like the last nail in the coffin in terms of any respect anyone had for the Vatican at that point. It was like, oh, okay. Wow, you're so out of touch. My God. Okay.
News to Reviews is coming for you, Vatican.
Shit. Yeah, none of this is going in, Zach. I don't want to get the fundies upset.
I think it'll be okay. Sam Fisher continues to be put into every single Ubisoft game that they can put him into, and still no Splinter Cell. Like, at this point, if I was a Splinter Cell fan, I'd just be upset. I'd just be like, I don't care he's in everything. I actually just want a game. Like, yeah. Anyway, they're still doing it. Watch Dogs, we got some more details on that as well, too. Are either of you familiar with the rapper Stormzy?
No.
Sorry.
He's a British rapper. My brother is into him. Shout out to my brother Wade.
I thought you were saying that your brother was British rapper Stormzy. Same. And I was like, my God, wow.
Nah, well, no, my brother's nowhere near that cool. Well, Stormzy is quite a popular British rapper. He is going to be in Watch Dogs, and he's going to have his own mission and everything. And he's making a song for Watch Dogs because he's from London and you know. And anyway, Aiden Pierce is also going to be in the game because that's what everyone wanted. Everyone said that Watch Dogs 1 was a terrible game, but that Aiden Pierce was a great character. No, I'm being sarcastic here. Aiden Pierce was the most boring character. He was the most cookie cutter. Just, you know, white dude avenging his family. Oh, he's gruff and he's sour. Okay, we've never seen
Zach,
that.
I, Well, Zach, I don't know if his race needs to be mentioned, but yes, it's a cookie cutter.
Yeah, it does, because I can pretty much go through, like, literally every single character, and they're always just some white dude as well, too. So, yeah, no, I feel like it's relevant to some degree. Like, it would have been at least a bit more interesting if they decided to go with some kind of other culture for it, but no. So, we got another Kratos. We got another Jack 2 Renegade.
Would it have been more interesting if we had Maui from Moana?
Of course it would have been.
If they stuck Dwayne The Rock Johnson at playing Maui, if he reprised his role for this game, do you feel like that would have, you know, pushed it over the edge for you?
Perfect, perfect. But the exact same character, I want him to be that, you know, the ocean god or whatever he was from that movie.
I didn't watch the movie, I just listened to the songs on YouTube and sing along.
It was a good movie. Dwayne Johnson. Well,
they're bloody good songs. That's all I can say. I haven't seen the movie, so I can't speak for it. But god damn it.
Dwayne Johnson's best role to date. Don't at me. Anyway, yeah. I don't care about Aiden Pierce, but he's going to be back in the game and you can pay for him. It's DLC later on down the track. I don't know why anyone cares. But at this point, I've seen enough of Watch Dogs Legion. I already know I'm going to grab it. If you haven't got enough Watch Dogs Legion, maybe check out the gameplay trailer for this one. I couldn't care too much.
Oh, that was a masterful ending of your sentence. It was just beautiful, really concise.
Yeah, I'm having a rough one today. My god, Sam, are you gonna pick up Watch Dogs Legion? You think?
I've looked into it. It looks pretty cool. I don't know if I'm gonna pick it up yet.
Okay, fair enough. I'll let you know.
I have a lot of games to go through before I start getting to, like, the new release games, so, on, like, my PS4, so I don't know.
I'd recommend checking out Watch Dogs 2. Underrated game. It was a lot of fun for sure. And the last thing I wanted to mention was Riders Republic. Now, this is this weird online extreme sports game. It's like, it's multiplayer, you're playing with a bunch of people, you're riding BMX bikes, mountain bikes, snowboards, fucking hang gliders, I think. I think I saw someone gliding or something. I don't know what it is yet. They didn't really say. They just said it's an online game where you do these things. So I don't know if you're literally just in a random map and you just ride around trying to rack up points, or if there's actually races.
So you're just describing Tony Hawk's.
Yeah, basically, yeah.
Probably.
It very well could be, but I don't know. Did you see that you saw Riders Republic, Lockie?
No, not at all, but your description painted such a vivid picture for me. I just was thinking about Tony Hawk's Pro Skater and thinking that, but with different, you know, different... I want to say vehicles, but they're not vehicles. What are they?
Yeah, are they vehicles? Locomotives?
No, they're not locomotives. They're not trains.
Are locomotives only trains?
Yeah.
I didn't know that. Well, there you go.
I think they are. I mean, God, I'm not going to die on that hill. I could be wrong, but I think they're trains.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't know what to call them. I guess vehicles, just not motor vehicles. Foot-operated vehicles. Anyway, it sounds like that. And if they hit those marks, you know, they have a really great template to go by in terms of what people want and what people will expect. And if they just hit those marks, I think they'll have a really great game on their hands. Because I'm sure there are people that are into BMXing and shit that would love to see a quality Tony Hawk style game come out.
I can see loads of people jumping into this. The amount of, like, Monster Energy, Supercross and shit that we sell at work, like, it's such a trash game, but
such a trash drink.
Don't you dare have a go at Monster Energy. I won't stand for it, Lockie.
Well, why is it everyone that I see that drinks that looks extremely unhealthy?
Because it's not a healthy drink. It says on the can itself, you should only consume one a day. And in saying I'm drinking a Mother right now. It's not a Monster Energy, so I'm betraying my own brand that I love.
I mean, I sit here snobbishly drinking my coffee, which does the exact same thing, really. But yeah, it's just everyone I meet. Just looks really unhealthy, and I want them to drink water. I want them to have more water.
Yeah, no, the difference is coffee doesn't have, like, petrol and whatever else it is that they put into these fucking cans of soft drink. Now, this next story Ubisoft wants us to forget about. It's something they didn't want to talk about in their Ubisoft Forward, but we're going to talk about it. GameIndustry.biz. This article is written by Brendan Sinclair. Ubisoft CEO Yves Guillemot released a video statement today addressing the company's recent abuse scandal. So he didn't include this in the Ubisoft Forward event. He did a separate tweet out with this video. Now, look, I'm at least glad that they addressed it. Even more recent criticism over the story of the new mobile game Tom Clancy's Elite Squad and quashing any notion that he would step down over what has happened. This summer, we learned that certain Ubisoft employees did not hold up our company's values and that our systems failed to protect the victims of their behaviour, Guillemot said, referencing numerous reports of abuse by high-level employees and an HR department that routinely ignored complaints about those employees. I'm truly sorry to everyone who was hurt, Guillemot said. We have taken significant steps to remove or sanction those who violated our values and code of conduct, and we are working hard to improve our systems and processes. We are also focused on improving diversity and inclusivity at all levels of the company. For example, we will invest an additional $1 million over the next 5 years in our graduate program. The focus will be on creating opportunities for underrepresented groups, including women and people of color, to join and thrive at Ubisoft. We are at the start of a long journey. Real change will take time, but I am determined to do everything in my power to ensure everyone at Ubisoft feels welcome, respected, and safe, and to rebuild the trust of our teams, fans, and players have in us. Guillermo then responded to last month's uproar over Elite Squad, which sees world governments teaming up with terrorist organizations to stop a bigger threat, a civil protest movement capitalizing on anger over wars, corruption and poverty that is actually cover for a different terrorist organization. Around the world, this year continues to be a time of social unrest, Guillermo said. I want to be clear. Ubisoft stands for equality and respect for all. Unfortunately, one of our recent mobile games included content that was inappropriate. This kind of oversight cannot happen. We are putting in place safeguards to prevent it in the future. The inappropriate content referenced by Guillermo is apparently a raised fist often associated with Black Power Movement, which was originally the chosen logo of Elite Squad's antagonist group, Umbra. After complaints about the premise and presentation of Elite Squad began to grow, Ubisoft's response focused on the raised fist logo and said it would be patched out of the game. We condemn anyone using our game as a proxy for hate or toxicity, Guillermo specified in his message today. We fully support the Black Lives Matter movement, and today we are making an additional donation to the NAACP Legal Defense Fund. Finally, Guillermo dismissed any thought that he might step down, saying, I'm fully committed to leading the change at Ubisoft and to ensuring we always uphold and exemplify our core values in the company, in the industry, the community, and in our games. Okay, so look, as far as apology goes, there was a lot of really good stuff in there. There's still a bit of the typical corporate stuff. He didn't really take any personal responsibility. He just said that the systems and the whatever failed us, and if anyone was hurt, I'm sorry. It's the whole, oh, I'm sorry if your feelings were hurt kind of a thing. But the steps that they're making are good steps. You know, they're like putting money into these programs and whatnot, and patching the Black Lives Matter symbol out of their game for the terrorist organization that... that the government is valiantly fighting against. I think that's a good call.
Yeah, that was a bit on the nose, really.
It was a little bit on the nose. I personally would like to see Yves Guillemot step down. Like, the people who were fired due to a lot of these abuse scandals and whatnot, a lot of them were close friends with him. He was like chums with them. And the idea that he had no idea this stuff was going on, there's only one or two options it could be. It was one, that he knew it was going on and he did nothing about it. Or two, he's a total idiot and had no idea that all this horrible shit was going on right under his nose with people he speaks to daily and he is apparently good friends with.
Yeah.
If people who do disgusting shit like this, I'm sure, do this stuff outside of work as well as within work. And the idea that he wouldn't have noticed something like this whilst hanging out with them at, like, you know, strip clubs or on the yachts and stuff like they like to do over at Ubisoft.
Well, let's not shame strip clubs.
I have nothing against strip clubs and whatnot, but I don't think it's an appropriate place to hold work meetings. Anyway.
No, well, no, but that's... Yeah, I don't think they would be discussing work at the strip club.
So. Oh, who bloody knows? Like, so, yeah, like, as much as I like some of the moves here, yeah, I still have concerns about Ubisoft and if there really is going to be a massive culture change there. Sam, how do you rate this apology?
I mean,
give it your
honestly,
news to reviews review.
This is my honest opinion. It sounds like the same old backhanded apology that we get from males all the time. And I think most females will understand that. There was no accountability at all on his part. It was just like, I'm sorry that it happened. But, like, we're going to do this. And I hope he does change a lot of the stuff going on. But at the same time, as you said, I find it weird and unnerving if he didn't know about all this stuff before it was going on and before it came out in the public.
Oh, he knew. He had to have known, I'm sure. But maybe he didn't, because don't
maybe
sue me.
Maybe he didn't, but
Ubisoft. Maybe he didn't know, I don't know.
Yeah,
fucking Christ.
I think you make a good point there where we'll never probably find out the truth from them unless it actually goes to court, because, you know, flat-out denial is a strategy to you know, just let everything sort of run its course and, you know, try and mitigate people's reactions to it rather than dealing with the actual problem itself.
Yeah.
But yeah, it doesn't sound good. And him as a CEO, is he a CEO? Is that his position?
Yeah, he's a CEO.
Look, I get sick of it. I get fucking sick of this as well. And you see this in large organizations where, leaders, and I say that in inverted commas for our Audible podcast, leaders, not really. A lot of leaders don't lead and they don't do their actual job. A leader's job is to actually identify what is a positive workplace culture and take a long, hard look at their company and see where they're actually stacking up and push and drive for that positive culture and instill that inspiration in the people that work under them. It's so hard and so rare to come across an inspiring leader. I've come across a couple in my lifetime. I'm young, so hopefully I'll come across a few more. But it's a world of difference when you have someone in a high position that actually cares about what they do and they care about their company and they actually care about people. And it's very rare to come across that. So you notice the difference instantly in terms of the motivation people have working under them. When you have good leaders, people will follow. Companies will step up and there will be genuine change. When you have shit leaders, you get the same repetitive cycle of bullshit of these, you know, these scandals that come to light. You get the half not really apologies. We'll do better. This one, he's not stepping down because he reckons he'll be able to champion it. Well, fine. Then fucking champion it. But if 2 years from now we get another bullshit scandal exactly like this one, like, fucking step down, because I seriously doubt that he's that type of leader.
Yeah.
He's been the leader the entire time and this shit was happening. Yeah. So he's not. He clearly isn't. Fucking Christ. And not one of the big issues with the whole BLM thing, the studio, you know, Ubisoft's massive. They've got a whole bunch of game studios under them. The studio making that game is being run by Charlie Gilmore. And if that name sounds familiar, it's because he's the son of Yves Gilmore as well, too. He was given that studio to run when he graduated in 2014 at the age of 25. So I'm glad to see that daddy's little boy who can really bring the controversy for him. I hope he gave him a good spanking when they got home. Because he certainly fucked up putting that Black Lives Matter.
Good old fashioned nepotism. Yeah, he's not the type of leader that you would meet him and think that's a good person.
Yeah. Oh my God. What a look too. Not only did they fuck up putting this symbol in there, it was his own son who made that massive fuck up. But he can't even lead his own child. How are we supposed to believe he can lead the fucking company? Yeah. Fuck you! Jeez, I don't know. I got super angry after all this. I think I do too.
It's fucking frustrating, and you see it so commonly in companies where nepotism is a big problem, where you get people that are flat out incompetent and they harm their company and good, hardworking people around them because they're the fucking kid of the CEO.
Yeah.
This kid should be fired immediately for even allowing that fuck up to happen because it's disgusting. Yeah. And it does cause a lot of social harm as a result.
It does, yes.
You know, any other person in that position would have been fired immediately. Yeah, so yeah, it's just one of those gross it's one of those gross aspects of in an ideal world and company, you would seek those people in leadership positions and root them out. Fucking get rid of them. So people can actually get back to doing their jobs and doing what they're passionate about. Like, the actual fucking company.
Yeah, yeah. No one should ever have to worry about dealing with harassment and abuse just to go and work for a company. Is like it's disgusting.
Yeah.
So
if he can't even raise his kids properly, how can he fucking lead a company?
Exactly. My Yikes. Point. Exactly. Fucking hell. Time for some quick stories. Quick stories coming at ya. PAX Online is happening right now. There's lots of trailers for indie games and stuff out there. Check it out if you are interested. Assassin's Creed Valhalla is now coming November 10th, seemingly trying to line up with the release of the Xbox Series X, because they have no first-party games. The Witcher 3 is going to be coming to next-gen consoles, and if you own a copy of The Witcher 3, you are going to be getting a free upgrade. So if you bought a copy all the way back in 2015 and you didn't get the ultimate fucking Star Spangled Edition, like what they're doing with Control, it doesn't matter because they're going to give it to you anyway because CD Projekt Red actually care about the consumer, or at least want to look like they do. Cyberpunk 2077 is also getting a stream on September 18th. So if you do not know enough about Cyberpunk 2077, then that is the thing to check the fuck out. I'll check it out. If there's anything interesting, I will talk about it on the show. Sorry to skip through there. We're starting to run a little bit short on time. Just quickly to the
Zachary's
games.
Zachary's going
to
be late for work.
I'll make it. The games that were released in the last week, we had Necromunda Underhive Wars come to PS4, Xbox,
yes!
Xbox One, and PC.
Finally, Necromunda. Yeah.
I hope I pronounced that right. Star Renegades came to PC. The Sims 4 Star Wars Journey to Batuu. Oh, God. Came to PC as well, too. Because everyone's always wanted Star Wars in their Sims.
Game number 3, Gooblu Abubu, is coming out on the Fububi. In 20 flames, like, the fuck?
Yeah, I know, it's
Phoenix
it's
Rising.
Sam, are you a fan of The Sims, Sam? I feel Do you reckon you'll be picking up Journey to Batuu, the Star Wars expansion?
I mean, I have looked into it, and it actually does look pretty cool, because you can, like, go on the Starf... What are they? The Starf... That's not a Starfighter.
The Death Star?
No. It's completely, it's on the tip of my tongue. You can go on the spaceships and then, so you can actually like travel up into space and then you can get lightsabers and everything as well. It actually looks pretty cool.
Yeah.
So I do want to get it. It's $30 and I'm very poor right now because I'm not working because of Corona. So I want to get it and check it out. It does look cool, but it's a weird name. I agree.
Oh yeah, that's the thing. It's a stupid name, but no, totally agree with you, Sam. I'm actually really excited about this product too because it's really different, and I love Sims. I fucking love it, and I love it when they do expansions that are really different and break the mold. And they've been doing the stock standard, all the stuff that they've released in the past for the Sims 2 and the Sims 3. They're doing exactly the same. They've finally exhausted their repertoire in that. I like that they're shaking it up a bit. It looks cute with the Star Wars stuff. I reckon I'll probably pick it up too.
It just feels like EA's... Isn't the Star Wars license starting to run out pretty soon? So I feel like maybe they're just like, let's just get fucking Star Wars and everything. I'm sure Disney's not going to care. They try to get their properties and everything anyway.
Disney cares.
What?
Yeah. Any time they don't get a piece of the pie, they care.
But that's my point. Disney's not going to care if they put Star Wars into every EA game. They'll be like, yeah, we're down for that. Yeah. They're happy to... They'll put a Verizon skin in their Marvel's Avengers game, so they don't give a shit.
Hey, they spent $2 billion on that fucking turd of a franchise. They got to get some money back.
Oh, yeah. RPG Maker MV came to PS4 and Nintendo Switch. Kingdoms of Amalur: Re-Reckoning, great name, came to PS4, Xbox One, and PC. Mm. I've heard it's, you know, if you want to play it again, it's all right, but don't expect any new bells and whistles on that one. The Outer Worlds: Peril on Gorgon, the first expansion, came to PS4, Xbox One, and PC. I've not picked that one up yet, but I may do, because I fucking loved The Outer World last year, and I wouldn't mind sinking my teeth into a little bit more. But look, that will do us for the news and the games that came out this week. It's time to take a quick break, and then we'll jump back in with the games that we've been playing.
All right, so I'm just going to start off with something. For any gay man out there, I'm sure you can relate in this experience. So when you hop on the dating apps, because things aren't going well in your relationships, like just the shit that people say to you straight off the bat. Like, I had this guy that it just pops up on my phone just then while I'm talking into it for the podcast. Sit on my face.
Sit on what?
That's how he started his conversation with me. This amazing emotional journey we're about to embark on together. Fuck me.
What that tells you is that all men are disgusting and it doesn't discriminate whether you're gay, straight, or whatever. Men are gross.
Nah, not all men. Not all men. I don't start off my conversations with the kink stuff. I wait until second date, thank you very much, before you start rolling out the weird shit.
Why?
I have to work out if I will watch a movie with you.
Yeah.
This step. Right.
Aren't you lucky, Sam, like, that you don't have to deal with that dating straight?
Exactly. Aren't you lucky that you don't have to deal with that as a woman?
I get the worst of both sides, so I'm sorry.
Yeah.
But I get the worst from the men and from the women, so I mean...
Whoa. What do the women do?
Nothing! That's the issue. They like you match with them, and then you'll send like a hey, how you going or something, and then I never get a reply from a woman
ever. That's so annoying.
I'm just like, how can I live out my bisexuality?
Yeah,
I don't know without ever getting a response.
I like to think of that as two different words. Your bisexuality.
Bisexuality.
Do you reckon it's harder for women to emotionally connect through the apps? I'm wondering.
Maybe
it's better if you go to a bar and you have a conversation with them, then you sort of get that chem going, and then you go, oh yeah.
I can't do that.
I know. It's so much work. Who has time for that? And also pandemic.
I guess I'm also in that state of mind where like I'm on the dating apps. And I don't want to toot my own horn, but the men kind of just, like, message me straight away. And they're like, hey, how you going? Like, hi, beautiful, whatever. And then, like, I try to, like, get in with a woman and, like, it's so much more effort.
Yeah.
So I'm just like, this is just, it's hard. Like, I don't want to put in this effort. I don't even know you yet.
That is so true. I know. And this is the same with the straight world where men have to put in all the effort with, like, you know, making the connection and, you know, being socially engaging to begin with. And then once the woman decides, I'm interested in this person, then they're ready. So like it's funny. It's a fucking mess in the gay world as well.
But why match with someone if you're not gonna talk to them? I don't get it. Don't swipe right if you're not gonna message.
Yeah.
Far out.
Sam, I can totally relate because
it's very inefficient.
Back years ago when I was on the dating apps. That was my entire experience. just no responses. So I'm glad it's not just me. That makes me feel better. Misery loves company.
Well, no one told you to sit on their face or send pics of your feet.
I would have been fucking happy. At least that's a response.
Oh no.
It doesn't feel good. I gotta say, man, it doesn't feel good. It's the sort of attention where you don't feel good receiving it.
No, right? Yeah. Do you ever ad lib like on Snapchat or anything? Like after you talk to them for a little bit?
No, I don't personally. Yeah, that's the other thing. They ask for that because they want to get a feel for like you as a normal person and all sorts of stuff. But I'm like, fuck off, you haven't earned that. I want to know, I want to be dating you for a month and be at a stage where I'm ready to introduce you to my family and friends before I add you on fucking Facebook.
Like, I don't add them on Facebook, it's just Snapchat. Yeah.
Fair enough.
And then you get to know if they actually look like they do in their photos, and half the time they don't. Unfortunately, which is really gross. Right. But then, see, because I add them on Snapchat as well, they think that it's okay to just send me dick pics every now and then with captions like, "Hey, beautiful, how's your day?" And it's like,
God. Oh my God.
What?
No one gives a fuck. Yeah, I agree. No one gives a fuck about what your dick looks like.
Exactly.
Like,
as long as
it doesn't have weird crooks in it. Oh God, no, we're getting too personal here and someone's feelings will get hurt. Okay.
Men are gross. Sam, I think the main problem is you shouldn't be adding the employee members from Ubisoft to Snapchat. That's why.
No.
Oh my God, imagine being an employee for Ubisoft and like getting from your HR manager, "Hey, you up?" And then like getting a dick pic.
Oh, gross.
Is this what you mean by up?
Oh God.
Okay. All right. So enough about the game. That is dating. Yes, it's relevant.
Yeah,
it's a game.
Yeah, nice connection. Yep. Good, yep. Zach.
Let's talk about a video game. Sam, what have you been playing this week?
I've been playing Stardew Valley. Because you told me to, because I was like, I'm sick of Animal Crossing.
Yes, and you can thank, shout out to friend of the show, Torja. You can thank her for that suggestion, because she got me into Stardew Valley. And, Sam, what do you think so far?
I mean, I literally just started playing it. So, I like it. I really like it. And I finally understand my map, so I can, like, go where I need to go without looking at the map every 5 seconds. But I also have no clue what I'm doing yet. And I kind of feel like I'm just running around breaking rocks and like picking up grass. I don't know. Like, I don't know what I'm doing yet. So I just, I need to figure out the game and look it up and watch some tutorial videos, I think.
Yeah, there is a lot of that I've found. And Torja told me this before I started. She just said, look up everything you need to look up, because the game tells you nothing. And I got burnt hard. It was I didn't realize that the seasons only lasted 28 days, but I did realize that your crops are seasonal, so you got to make sure you harvest them before that 28 days is up. I'm at like 26-27 days. I'm like, oh, that's sweet, seasons have like 90 days in them. I've got ages to go. And then I had all of my crops that I spent all of my money on to buy the seeds for all die when it changed to summer.
Yep.
So, watch out for that. And, it is one of those games where it doesn't guide you. It really just sort of plops you in there and lets you figure stuff out. What have you felt about the art style thus far?
I'm not one to usually go for the pixelated, like, bird's eye view kind of look game. Mm-hmm. Usually it annoys me, but I am finding that it's not bothering me at all, really, which is interesting. So I'm thinking I might look into more games in that art style, but it might just be Stardew Valley that's the exception for me. I don't know.
Yeah, I'm exactly the same as you. Like, I've never been into pixelated art styles in games generally. Like, I'm all about the, getting the best looking thing for the time, even though I play on console, if I really wanted to do that, I play on PC. But, I play games in 2020 so they can look fucking awesome and I can have this really cool cinematic experience. Why do I want to play something that looks all pixelated and whatever? But yeah, I found the art style really engaging. I end up really liking it. Like something about the simplicity of it just works really well in Stardew Valley, and I enjoyed it. And I think I had a bit of a taste of that back when I played Children of Mordor as well too, because that game's pixelated, but my God, is that game gorgeous. They really do some interesting things with the art style there. So particularly, you'll notice in Stardew Valley, once the seasons change and they change up the look of the environment, it's pretty cool. It's really cool. And oh God, the animals. Oh, get some animals as soon as you can, because they're so cute. I've got four chickens. Cute. One of them's named Zinger Box. One of them's named Drumstick.
Oh, Jesus.
The other one's Nugget. Nice.
Nugget.
And then I think the other, I ran out of ideas and I just called the other one Breast. I'm not very proud of that one.
I mean,
no,
that's cool.
Yeah,
that'd be my name.
It works, Breast.
It's not as good as Zinger Box. Zinger Box is my favorite.
Zinger Box and is a good name.
The best eggs for sure. And then I bought three cows. And oh no, I've got a fourth cow now, but one of them's not producing milk yet because he needs to get older. But yeah, I got that.
Well,
so
if he's a he, he's not going to produce milk.
Well, yeah, sorry, she. Even though I've given him like all the names I've given him are just like totally irrelevant, like to the gender of the animal.
Oh, okay.
Because fuck it, it's 2020. So there's Milton. Miltank after the Pokemon.
Oh, and I get you. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And then I also got Milhouse as well because the Simpsons.
Wonderful,
and, you know,
wonderful.
Like,
yes.
Fuck yeah. And then my last one was Moonica. So like Monica, but put an extra O, so it's Moonica.
I'm upset that it's not Big Mac. Like, I'd surely name Big Mac.
Big Mac is a good name.
Yeah.
Just in general.
Like,
yeah. Damn.
Everyone wants to be friends with Big Mac.
Yeah, 100%. That's a great idea. Next cow name idea for sure.
No, it's fine. You can't steal my cow name.
Oh, fuck yeah. Okay. No, fair call. Be original, Zach.
Yeah,
come on.
Far out.
Oh, dearie me. So, yeah, get onto the animals quick because the animals are super, super cute.
They're, I like Moonica. Moonica's funny.
Moonica's cool, yeah.
It's terrible, like 14... and I love it.
It's like 14,000 whatever the currency is in that game, though. And, like, I struggle to get, like, $300.
The small barn's not too bad. I don't think it's that much. There is the big barn, which is, yeah, it's expensive, and you need iron and stuff like that as well, too. But
Yeah,
my sort of main focus for my first season or two was just really getting my crops going and just, like, getting a nice, like, nice farm going and raking in the money. And every spare dollar I had, I put back into buying more seeds to grow the farm bigger and whatnot. And you got to do, there's little things that the game sort of like teaches you through punishing you, I guess, in a sense, like you need a scarecrow there to keep the crows away. Otherwise they'll peck away at some of your food and whatnot. So, you know, you find that sort of stuff out just through that sort of emergent stuff happening throughout
cool.
the game. So yeah. A lot of fun. I'm really, really loving Stardew Valley. It's kind of scratching that Animal Crossing itch for me, I think, just in that it's super relaxing. You don't have to worry. You're not going to, like, die or anything like that. As long as you're pausing, you're not going to be wasting in-game time and whatever. It's been an absolute relaxing delight for sure. How far into it are you now, Sam? Have you finished your first season yet? Or
No. I think I'm on day 10.
Still scratching the surface. So you probably only harvested a couple of crops or something.
Yeah,
like that
and I need
point.
To go get a well, but it said go to like Robin to get a well, and then I went to Robin, and I can't figure out how to get a well from her. So I don't know.
Oh, okay. So I thought. So basically, the way it works, it was confusing for me as well too. Yeah, I didn't even realize that the top left button on the Switch, the minus button, brings up your quests as well too.
Yeah,
that's something that took me days and days to figure out.
It did. It took me forever to figure out because it like has a little exclamation mark being like, "Open your journal." Like your journal has a new thing, and I'm like, "How do I open my journal?" So I literally just pressed every button until it opened.
Thank you. I was in the exact same boat. But yeah, the thing I figured out when you're looking at when you go into the options for Robin, you go to construct buildings and then you use L1 and R1 to flick through, or it might just be left and right on the D-pad, but you actually have to flick through which buildings you're going to construct and the wells in there. But I was I had the exact same thing. I was like, there's nothing I can, just the one thing I can build.
Well, it was just that one coop, which was like the most expensive one. So yeah, I'll do that. for sure.
I've heard Andrew from the Inconsolables, he said to me that the Switch version generally isn't the best version of Stardew Valley to be playing. Like, it's definitely superior on PC. And I can understand, like, you can sort of see with the interface and whatnot that it definitely would feel a bit better. There's even, you can even use a cursor on the Switch using the right stick if you like. I've very rarely ever used it at all. But I got to say, being able to play this game handheld, it's like a perfect handheld game to sort of like just like chill out in bed, you know, put on a TV show, watch The Boys or something like that.
Sit on the shitter and play.
That's what I do.
Yeah. That's what handheld was made for.
Exactly.
I can't. It's my housemate's Switch, so I ain't gonna be coming out the toilet with that one.
He ends up getting pink eye from playing the Switch.
Gross. Why are you putting the switch near your bum, and why is he putting it near his eyes? Like,
hey, if you're gonna take it into the bathroom, you may as well take advantage of that HD rumble, you know.
Oh, dude.
Oh no.
Where are you putting it?
Zach, this is fundamentally a children's console.
You could count those ice cubes from inside of your asshole. That's how good the HD rumble is. You know?
No haptic feedback required. In a Switch.
Far out.
Yeah, who isn't looking forward to sticking the DualSense up their bum?
Oh, you guys are going to love haptic feedback. It's gonna rock your world.
I wonder how those haptic triggers will feel against my nutsack.
Oh my god.
I don't know. I don't have one, so I can't test that out.
Sam, do you have any final words for our listeners on Stardew Valley?
No. I mean, the biggest thing is, just look up stuff. Just Google. I've had to do that so many times.
Would you recommend it, though?
Oh, 100%. It's pretty cool. I mean, it is just that relaxing game that you don't have to pay all that much attention to, but you do have to pay attention to some degree, and you can just have, like, something playing in the background, which for me lately it's been Keeping Up with the Kardashians, because it's just...
all right. They're wrapping up.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, that sounds like some good isolation trash viewing.
Oh, it is. I love it. It's so stupid. It's so silly.
Fantastic. Yeah, well, look, I totally concur with your opinions. Fantastic, relaxing game. I've put a bit of hours into it, but I might wait till I've finished at least my first year before I go putting a review score on this one. But yeah, Stardew Valley, if the what we described appeals to you, then I'm sure you will love this game. It's very well made. It's super cute and charming and a great, great relaxing time. Now, Lockie, do you have any impressions for us this week, other than your impressions of dating?
Oh, yeah, the greatest game of all. not really. So I tried to give Stardew Valley a go, but again, it's a farming sim. Yeah, so
I didn't even ask your opinion once on Stardew Valley.
It's, it's the same as before. I mean, like, I don't want to give much of an opinion on it because I don't think it's the right game for me. I just don't find farming sims particularly engaging. And I got really frustrated that on day one, my character kills over and passes out because I removed a couple of fucking plants from the front of my house. I was like, you know, I was trying to get into it. I tried getting into it and the game fucking punishes me for trying to clean up my farm. So I don't know.
You gotta eat to keep your energy up, Lockie.
That's stupid. I'm playing a video game.
How do you
playing a video game? I do that in real life. I don't want to do that in the game.
Didn't you notice that when he was starting to get the bar was starting to run out, sweat starts flying off him, and the game goes, "You're getting exhausted." Yeah. In other words, like either go to sleep or eat something.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, I saw that, and I thought that was annoying. I thought that was a vexing mechanic, and I continued on.
No, fair call.
And then he passed out, and I'm like, well, then fuck you, game.
Yeah, I can understand that. It's sort of like having a survival mechanic in a sense, but it's not like you lose too much. Like if you do pass out and fall, like you just lose a little bit of progress, like a day's progress.
Oh no, and you lose money. People rob you.
Yeah.
Oh shit.
So the game punished me hard for just trying to play it the way I wanted to play it, but apparently that wasn't the right way. So yeah.
Okay.
That's all I can say so far.
Lockie's spitting some venom at Stardew Valley. Well, look, I've got some quick fire impressions for you guys. If you've been sitting there every time I get into the impressions and go, Zach, you said you were going to tell us more about Paper Mario. Zach, you said you were going to tell us more about Destroy All Humans. Where's your impressions for all these games that you said you've been playing?
I don't give a fuck about any of those things.
Exactly. So, yeah. And that's the exact reason why you have not heard from me about those things. Because, look, I nearly finished Destroy All Humans. And I got to the last boss and it became a massive grind and I was not going to be doing that because the game did not grab me enough. But Destroy All Humans, if you like the original one from back in the day, you're going to love it. If not, you're playing an archaic game. And for me personally, I had a bit of fun with it, but not very much. So that's why I was so silent on that one. And Paper Mario, I picked that up all the way back in July. I mentioned that like on the week I picked up Ghost of Tsushima and Ghost of Tsushima ended up taking up all of my time because I actually enjoyed playing that game. Now, Paper Mario, the world is super charming, the writing is fantastic, and running around that world and solving the little dumb puzzles and discovering shit was fun. That was great. But the big letdown for Paper Mario was that fucking ring system in the combat, the thing that Lockie spotted from a mile away and said, no, I don't want them rings near me. And I don't want to
play Bejeweled when I pick up a Super Mario game. It's fucking stupid. I don't want to play Bejeweled. Fuck off.
It wasn't fun. And another thing that annoyed me about that too is that you would have a time limit to lock in the different rings and whatnot as well too. When I'm playing a turn-based game, I don't want a fucking time limit. I'm sitting in my bed watching YouTube videos or whatever. I'm not sitting there like I don't want to sit there and try and focus to play some dumb puzzle fucking ring turning game when really I just want to focus on what attacks and whatnot I should be using and what weaknesses the enemies have and the stuff that you're supposed to focus on when you're playing a turn-based RPG. So yeah, I've got some issues with it there. If you like Paper Mario, then I'm sure you wouldn't mind it. The ring system.
Absolutely not. I completely disagree with that statement. If you like Paper Mario, you probably won't like this game because it is not Paper Mario.
Okay, shit. Fair enough. No worries. Well, I'll take it back. Well, I don't know if you want. It has a cool art style. That's for sure.
It does. It's a game that all right. You're done talking. So this is a game... I haven't even played it, and I have a stronger opinion on you in this game. This is a game that appears like it deserves to exist, just not as a Paper Mario game. When you have an established franchise with established mechanics and expectations that your fan base has, when you choose to not honor them, they have a right to be frustrated with your decision. Name it something else. Attach it to a new franchise. If you're trying something different, actually go different. But they weren't confident that this game would sell, and so they slapped the Paper Mario crap onto it, and it sold. Thanks, Nintendo. Another Nintendo shitty business practice.
Yeah. Well, apparently a lot of Paper Mario fans were also upset because before it was announced, they said there would be no new characters or anything that would have any effect on Mario canon or lore. So it was pretty much like saying,
if you give a fuck about Mario canon and lore, don't. Because it's about two stereotypical Italian plumbers that appear in a land ruled by mushrooms. Just enjoy the ride. Its roots are deeply problematic that they still haven't addressed. But nobody's talking about that. But the, just go along for the ride. It's a fantasy. Just relax. It's not Lord of the Rings.
I gotta ask, what's deeply problematic about the roots? I'm curious.
The Italian stereotypes.
Okay. I thought that was the one that everyone was just okay with for some reason.
No, exactly. That's my point. Everyone's okay with it.
Stereotypes, no one cares.
Yeah, everyone's okay with it, but they shouldn't be is my minor gripe over that. Like, they really shouldn't be. It's not, it's not really okay. But, yeah, if you're worrying about lore, you're worrying about the wrong things.
Look, I gotta say, I don't think Mario's Italian because when he speaks, he doesn't hold his thumb to his index finger, you know, and hold it up in the air. And that's how Italians speak, so, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm a racist bastard, apparently.
No, apparently it's okay if they're Italian. For
some
reason.
As I said, exactly. Oh, shit.
I know, we've gone off the rails. We've gone absolutely off the rails. All right, back on track. So I do have a game, first impressions, that I do want to cover off.
Okay.
I picked up Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 1 and 2 Remastered.
Oh,
and god damn it, it was good. This is a fucking solid remaster. They did very little changes in terms of the gameplay mechanics, just a little bit of quality of life tweaking. The game's a lot smoother to run. You're able to customize the stats of your skateboarder from the first game. I don't think they had that. And it's very, very welcome. If you liked Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 1 or 2 as a child, you're absolutely getting that itch scratched by this game. And I really hope it inspires a lot more of these titles, like the one we were talking about with the mountain bike stuff. So yeah, not really much to say other than that. If you like skateboarding and you like chaining combos and, you know, doing some crazy shit, this is a quality game. I would gladly give it a one thing funny to note about this game is that they have great customization in character design, but all of their character faces that you can choose from are insanely ugly. like they're not fair. So they show a proper video of all these famous skateboarders doing their thing, and the in-game character models of them look like really mean ugly caricature versions of them in real life. Like, it's not like, if I were one of those characters, one of those people in real life, I'd go, wow, they really, you know, they, I don't think they did me justice, and now I just feel bad about myself. Thanks. Thanks, THQ Nordic. But yeah, other than that, it's a fucking good game.
Yeah, I don't think any developer thus far has managed to nail, like, one-to-one character models with real life actors, and it looks okay in the game, but it's when they stick it next to each other that it just stands out like dog's balls. Like, you had Control was the big one for me. They'd have these clips of the actress and whatnot in between cutscenes sometimes, and it just was super jarring to see it going from her to back to the character model. They just didn't look like the same person, as you said, a weirder version of that person. Do you have any nostalgia for Tony Hawk's at all, Sam, or is this one that you're gonna let roll on by?
It's one that I'm gonna let roll on by. I'm sure my brother would be so happy for it because that's all he played ever. And I did play like a little bit of it, but it's never really my thing, so
yeah. No, that's fair enough. I'm waiting for Tony Hawk's 3. I don't have the nostalgia for 1 and 2. Did you play 1 and 2 back in the day, Lockie?
Yeah, of course. Yeah. No, I played it's very much a nostalgia boner game. Yeah. One of those things. I sincerely hope that it does, you know, it does appeal to people, especially from the younger generation that didn't grow up on those games, to finally be able to experience it and, you know, experience it in modern graphics. So I'm sure a lot of people that know nothing about the old stuff will pick up this game and enjoy it, because it is just, it's one of those games where zero story, zero bells and whistles and all this bullshit. And it's just quality game mechanics. As you guys enjoy with your farming sims, I'll say this game is very relaxing. Once you master the mechanics and the controls, it's a relaxing game where you listen to really cool skate punk songs, and you just see all this cool shit. Like, it's great that we're seeing more games like this come out.
Yeah.
Oh. Fantastic. I'm glad that you're having a bloody good time, Lockie. It's good to see you loving a video game.
Yeah, it's certainly no, is it wrong to... I can't even remember the title.
Is it okay to try to pick up girls in a dungeon?
Yeah, that's it. Is it wrong for dungeon sex or something? And it's not that. It's not quite that at that level, but, you know, it's pretty damn good. I am speaking sarcastically, by the way, for any of our listeners that are listening to this episode as our first one.
Yeah, oh, and an interesting tidbit that the Is It Wrong to Try to Pick Up Girls in the Dungeon was actually developed by an ex-Ubisoft employee.
No, it wasn't real.
That's so unbelievable.
Could you imagine? Oh, I said it was a joke, so you can't sue me. That's the law, I think. Anyway, look, I am on the precipice of completing Marvel's Avengers. I'm on the final mission, so look forward to next week hearing my review score for that one. And Spellbreak, which I did talk, I mentioned briefly earlier on in the show, I did play with Andrew and Paul last night. I think I'll leave my impressions for that one for another week because I gotta get to fucking work at this point. Hey, we've given you impressions on heaps of games, so be happy with what you got, loyal listener. Jeez.
God, you're so passive aggressive to our listeners.
I don't know why. These are all great people.
Stop being passive aggressive to people listening to you. We love you. Thank you very much. Rattle off the email stuff.
If you want to tell us what you think about how passive aggressive I am, you can send your feedback to news2reviewspodcast@gmail.com, or you can also hit us up on all these socials, Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Twitter is the best place to keep track of everything we're doing. Our Twitter handle is @news2reviews. That's with a number 2 instead of the word 2. And lately I've been smashing up them socials. You want some Ghost of Tsushima screenshots? I got them. You want some gameplay from Fall Guys and some funny shit happening? I got it. Give us a follow. That's literally all I got. That's what I've been sharing at the moment, but I promise you, you will not be disappointed. And if you can, please leave us a review on any of the platforms that you're listening to us on, if they allow you to, because that really does help us get the show into the ears of more people. Sam, thank you so much for joining us once again, second time around. How'd it feel? How's it going?
Good, man. Thanks for having me again.
Oh, more than welcome. I look forward to having you on again in the future. And Lockie, I know you're going to be here next week. I don't have to kiss your ass, do I?
You don't have to make an effort with me. Wow.
I think we've been doing this long enough. You don't need the small talk anymore. It's just
We're done with each other. We're at that stage in our relationship where we can't stand the sight of each other.
Lockie and I do not talk at all outside of the show. We merely just put on a friendly face when we record.
Yeah, when we're setting up things, like, it's just dead silence. and then as soon as the recording's on, we will talk to each other.
I can vouch for that. Yeah.
Everyone out there, take care of yourselves and take care of one another. Peace!
Aww. That's cute. Mindy Irwin's preggers. Mindy Irwin's preggers, if anyone didn't know. I hope you put this in the show. Just at the end. Mindy Irwin. No, don't do it.